Thanks, everyone. Well done. Everyone well? You look good. Yeah, everyone survived yesterday, all right? How good was the subtlety that came through in the later evening? Bless God. But yeah, this is Australia. Expect some hot days in summertime. Bless God. We're going to, we've got a, even though it's sort of like a, not so much a bit of a down period or more of a relaxed period through holiday time. It was supposed to be anyway. For some, it may not be. But we do have had a bit of a series happening with Mum talking on being thankful, entering His presence through thanksgiving. You know, that scripture in Psalm 100, verse 4. So I just want to continue on this series because it's a wonderful topic, a wonderful subject, and it's so key to our lives in God. And I know that you would have been getting a whole bunch out of what Mum's been sharing over the last couple of weeks. So we will start in Psalm 100. So go there into verse 4. As you do that, I'm going to pray. So, Father, we just thank You for our time here this morning with You. You are in this place. Don't need to invite You to come, Father, because You are already here. And, Lord, we just thank You for what You're showing us through Your Word, these keys to life with You, Lord. So bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm sorry, boys, I didn't give you the scripture list. So I'll go as slow as I can, but most people will be able to keep up anyway. So Psalm 100, verse 4, New King James Version says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." Be thankful to Him. Someone say thankful to Him. And bless His name. Amen. Bless His name. So we are talking about thanksgiving. And this is what my message will be around is this whole lifestyle thanksgiving. What does it look like to live a thankful life? What does it look like to walk in thanksgiving so that we can, what? Enter into His gates and enter into His presence. Amen. So what we know about, or what I've learned to understand about thanksgiving is that it's actually a key. It's actually this almost like this grand master key. You think of a gate that needs to be unlocked to enter into it. What God's saying to us in this verse is that key is thankfulness. That key is thanksgiving. When we praise Him and when we bring thanks to Him, we're going to enter into His presence. And that's what Mum was sharing, how she's just getting this overwhelming need, an overwhelming sense just to be thankful. Why? Because God is drawing her into His presence and using thanksgiving to do it. Because it's the key. Someone say it's the key. So this, you know, in the Christian life, you know, there's certain, if you like, pillars, all right, certain, important things that, you know, hold everything together, okay? And I believe that thankfulness is one of those things. Thankfulness is one of those things that holds everything together. It's when it's well established in our lives, everything else flows. Amen? Everything else flows naturally. Is everyone with me? Yeah. All right, so we need to have this lifestyle of thanksgiving. So we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We need a lifestyle of thanksgiving praise. And this is actually, you know, a requirement to enter into his throne room, to be into His presence. Amen? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. This is the NLT version. It says, "Always be joyful." That's a good word. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Isn't that a good word? So be joyful. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. And in all circumstances, be what? Thankful. Okay, so who's ever asked this question before? God, what is your will for my life? Now, most of us ask this question, like, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? And who knows that quite often as Christians we can, I believe, again, we overcomplicate it. We completely overcomplicate it, all right? You know, we're like, you know, God, what do you want me to do? You know, what's the mandate that you're going to place on my life? You know, what's the call of God on my life? What is it, God? We don't have to overcomplicate it. It's very simple. This is God's will for our life. Paul says it here. Be thankful. In all things, in all circumstances, be thankful. Why? Because that is his will for you. That is his will for you, to live your life in thanksgiving. Amen? Are you with me? So this is what he's saying. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And you know what? It's important, and again, it's highlighted in this scripture, that we don't view this scripture through this lens of circumstance, okay? Because it's very easy when we do that, we can tend to, you know, add a negative experience that we're having or something that isn't so good going on in our lives, and we can add that and believe that it's the will of God, which isn't true. Okay, so that's why it's saying in all circumstances give thanks, in all circumstances, but don't look at it through a lens of circumstance, because God is good, and that negative stuff that you will experience because we live in the world, that's not God's will. That isn't his will for your life, because he is good. Amen? So what does he say? Give thanks in everything. Amen? So we can all agree that being thankful is an important part of living in Jesus. You know, but it's also, you know, one thing to be thankful and not easily drawn into discouragement and negativity and critical thinking. Okay? It's one thing to be thankful and not be drawn into those things. All right? And that's, again, why it's so important that we don't view being thankful as a lifestyle through a lens of circumstance and what's going on in our life. Amen? Let's have a look at John chapter 6. There's a really wonderful story in John chapter 6 that we're going to pull a bunch of stuff out of. And you all know the story of where Jesus fed the 5,000, right? John chapter 6, verse 1 to 12. We're just going to read it. It says this. After these things, Jesus went to the Sea of Galilee, verse 1, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And there'll probably some deceased one there as well. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. That's intriguing. Philip answered him and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. So that's just, again, you would know this, not just the men. There's the women and the children there as well. So if you think, who was at the carols the other day in the stadium? That's about how many people we're talking were there. Okay, so there's about 16,500 people. That's probably about the amount of people that were here in this time. Okay, 16,500, all right? And Jesus took the loaves. Okay, so they sat down. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. You hearing what's happening here? So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly a prophet who is come into the world. What an incredible story. And we've all heard it, right? I'm going to pull out some things. But before we do that, you need to understand this, that thankfulness is an inside job. Okay? Thankfulness is an inside job. You know, if you cannot, it cannot be determined again by external circumstances. Paul said, be thankful in all things. So this has to be something that comes from the inside of us. Amen? It has to be something that comes from the inside of us. You know, I quite often think many people probably been on like mission trips and things like that, and you'll go to different countries and you'll see and hear about stories of incredible miracles and different things taking place, like arms growing and, you know, people being raised from the dead and all these kinds of things. Everyone's heard these stories, right? And I quite often think that this is the difference between Western culture and other countries, Eastern culture, okay? Where those kinds of miracles take place. Because when you go to those places, you quickly identify that they don't look at their circumstances. They could be living in absolute, like, you know, poverty and in third world conditions, right? But they just love Jesus. They're just so thankful to Jesus and what he is giving them and what he's brought to their lives. They're just so thankful. That's because their thankfulness comes from the inside, not from what their circumstances and their experiences are. Are you with me? So they just don't care. It's just about what's going on the inside. So what's happening around them doesn't change what's happening on the inside of them. And that's key. It's an inside job. It says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issue of life. Amen? So it's from the heart. From the heart, this thankfulness comes. Not from circumstance. And it's our responsibility. Amen? Thankfulness is our responsibility. We can't expect other people to, you know, to build a life around us so we can live out, you know, this Christian life. It's our responsibility to guard our heart. Amen? It says this in John 6:9. This, going back to these scriptures now, in this story now. It says this in John chapter 6, verse 9. There is a lad. Someone say a lad. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? All right, so everyone say, it's my responsibility to cultivate a lifestyle of thankfulness. So how do we do it? All right, so this lad used what he had. This young man used what he had. Okay, he had what? 5 loaves and 2 small fish. So the first thing that we need to do if we're going to cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving is use what we have in our hand. Use what we have in our hand. Be original. Someone say, be original. You know that you are made in His image. Amen? You are made in His image. You are made unique. Scriptures say that you're His masterpiece. You know, we know that, you know, that we are, you know, His masterpiece. We know that we are His righteousness. This is who we are, but you are unique. You know that God has placed a very unique part of Himself on the inside of you. And do you know that if you withhold that, then you are withholding that very unique part of Him from everyone else. You carry something of Him that only you carry. And the world needs to see it. Amen? The world needs to see it. So don't hold it back. Be original. Be who you are. Be who God called you to be. Be who He says you are. Use what's in your hand. Be original. Amen. Now, how do you do that? You know, how do we be that? How do we know who we are? You know, the answer is simple. The answer is this: what has God said about you? That's how you know who you are. What has He said about you? What are those words that have been spoken over you through your whole life? Those good words. And I'm not just talking about, you know, quite often we wait for the prophet to come through town and give us like a word of God, you know, and that's super important. But I'm just talking about little things, like the little things you see in messages and cards. Birthday cards, Christmas cards, those words. What has God said about you? We need to pay attention to those things. We need to keep track of what He said about us. Because that's how we be who He's called us to be. Amen? Are you with me? Second thing is this: recognize that what's in your hand is from God. Recognize that what's in your hand is from God. Again, look at in that scripture, John 6, verse 9. It said, "There is a lad here who has 5 loaves, 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" You got to understand that in this story, that's the miracle. What happens after that, you know, just is incredible. But that's the miracle. That's God's provision. 16,500 people sitting there, and they somehow find one small lad who's walking around with his lunch. He's probably just trying to find somewhere nice and quiet to eat it. That's the miracle. That's God's provision. But Andrew, he didn't recognize it as God's provision. What did he say? What is this about? You know, this isn't enough. This isn't enough. He didn't recognize that this was actually the provision of God in this moment. So be thankful for what's in your hand. Be thankful for who you are. Come on. Just be thankful for what He's done in your life. If you find that hard, man, just start thanking Him for the birds. Thanking Him for, and my mum said this, thanking Him for the air you breathe. Thank Him for Jesus. That's a good place to start. When you wake up in the morning, thank you that I've woken up. Some people will probably think Him that more than others. Oh, that's it. But be thankful for what's in your hand. John 6, verse 11. This is going into verse 11. It says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks," someone say, "give thanks." "And when He had given thanks," He gave thanks. He took what deemed to be so small and insignificant, and you think about the circumstances, he was right. Andrew was right. In the circumstances, 5 loaves of bread and 3 small fish or 2 small fish, whatever it was, it wasn't enough in the circumstance. But he took what was in his hand, he said, and he gave thanks to God for it. He gave thanks to God for it. Amen? Didn't look at the circumstances, just thank God, because it was His thankfulness that was on the inside of Him. Because thankfulness is a thing that comes out of what's inside of us, not externally and through circumstance, from what's external and through circumstance. Are you with me? Come on. Praise the Lord. So, yeah, if you ever... You know the difference between an internal thankfulness and, you know, something, you know, someone is just saying thank you to be polite, right? I know you know this because we've just had Christmas. Yeah. haven't we? And you probably would have experienced both kinds of thankfulness in that time. It's like you have children. If you've got children, they open up presents, and it's like you can see their thankfulness. That just comes from the inside. But then, you know, you get presents from people. Oh, thank you very much. You know, like there's just nothing coming from the inside. It's just like a token of thankfulness for what they're giving you, a pair of socks or something. All right. But there's this internal thankfulness that comes out. And that's the kind of thankfulness that we're talking about here. Amen? All right. So, let's go to this next one. Third thing. Little things matter and they can't be overlooked. Little things matter and they can't be overlooked. You know that, so we can be so focused on the spectacular that we actually miss the supernatural. Are you hearing me? We can be so focused on, you know, the wow, that we actually miss the supernatural moves and the supernatural hand of God. The little things matter, and we can't overlook them. Verse 12 says, and when they were filled, so after everyone had eaten, everyone was full, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so nothing is lost. Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. That's interesting because the small things became really significant. In the fact that Jesus said, gather them up, I don't want any of this to be lost. It doesn't go on to say, look, so they could feed more people later on. Does it? He just said, gather them up. I don't want them lost. Gather up the fragments. Why? Because they are important. The small things are important. We can't take the small things for granted. We have to acknowledge and recognize that those small things, they're from God. They're God's provision. This is how thankfulness is cultivated. By recognizing and understanding that those little things matter. Those little things can't be overlooked. Amen? Gather up the fragments. Don't leave any behind. Praise the Lord. And verse 13 and 14, it says, therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, look at this. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. This is truly the prophet who has come into the world. This is incredible. Why? Because that moment, after they gathered up the fragments, filled the 12 baskets, was the thing that revealed Jesus as the Son of God. It wasn't the thing that had happened beforehand. It was that gathering of the fragments, the 12 baskets that were filled. This is what has revealed him as the prophet of God, the Son of God. Isn't that incredible? The small things matter. Someone say the small things matter. So when we cultivate a lifestyle of thankfulness, you know, he changes our life. He changes our life. And you know what? He changes people's lives around us. You know, the thing about God is that he just likes to do things on repeat and to do them better. You know, that in Revelations it says the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. It means what he's done once, he wants to do again. So he not only changes our lives, but he changes the lives of the people around us. This is how good he is. Someone say he is good. I think of, I've shared this story before where I remember when Benji was born. He was born on Christmas Eve. in 2008. And so we had Lucas and Timmy at the time. And because he was born on Christmas Eve, Heather was in hospital over Christmas Eve night. And so I was at home with the boys on Christmas Day. Okay, and obviously we had a whole bunch of presents that we needed to give them on Christmas Day. But because, you know, the family wasn't together, we didn't think that we should give them their presents in that time. And they were kind of just around, like particularly Timmy was around three or four. At that time, Lucas was two. So they were just sort of coming into that age where they know what Christmas is all about. All right. So, like I said, we couldn't give them their presents at the time because we weren't all together as a family. So on Christmas morning, we just had their stockings, and I had their stockings on the foot of my bed. They come running in. It's Christmas, Dad. It's Christmas. All fun and games and all that kind of stuff that you do. Really excited about Christmas. And so I handed them their stockings. It was like I was handing them the best thing they'd ever received in their life, right? And I remember, and I'm thinking, you know, this is, you know, I really want to give them all their presents, but we couldn't. I'm just giving them their stockings. They're pulling out little presents, which you'd unwrap it, and it's like a Matchbox car or a Hot Wheels car, and they're like pumped. Particularly Timmy, he's like, "It's a Hot Wheels car," and like going absolutely nuts over a Hot Wheels car. And he pulls out a Kinder Surprise, and it's like, "It's a Kinder Surprise!" Like he was pumped, he was psyched. This internal thankfulness coming, right? And I'm watching this unfold, and then I'm looking at Lucas, and Lucas only being little's kind of reacting exactly the same way as Timmy was, because Timmy was. He really didn't understand too much what was going on, but because Timmy was reacting in this. Oh, this, I'm so excited. I love getting these presents. This is just amazing. You know, it's so small, but it's so great. And it's just so, he was just so thankful. Lucas is going, "Yes, this is amazing." Like, too, it was just incredible watching this unfold. Right? But what it showed me in that time is that because of what Timmy was carrying, it was affecting Lucas. The way Timmy was and what was going on in his world in that moment, he was like he was carrying this atmosphere of expectation and fun and faith, and Lucas was like, "Yeah, I want some too." And he was responding the same way. Amen? He was responding in exactly the same way. And that's what happens because God is good and he wants to do it. When we live this lifestyle of thankfulness and we walk in it every single day, it's like we carry this vibe. All right, that other people see, and what it does is it affects them, it changes them, and then they begin to live a life of faith and expectation because what he's doing to them, you know, that just looks amazing. I want some too, so I'm going to follow. This is what he does. It's just incredible. It changes our lives, but it also changes the people of the lives around us. Who would have thought just being thankful can be such a powerful thing? But it is. It is. And this is how we live a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Amen. It says, real quick, I'm going to finish. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, "But each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." So he not only gifts us for our benefit, but he gifts us for the benefit of others. You know, and what happens? Thankfulness, what it actually does is it opens doors of generosity. Amen? It opens doors of generosity. You know, abundance is actually a promise of the Father. And he wants us to have an abundant life, you know, which means no lack. All right? But when we're thankful and it's an inner work of the Holy Spirit happens, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, we, you know, he promises us this a fruitful life, an abundant life. You know, and it's not just for us, it's for others. It's not just for us, it's for others. It breeds generosity. You know, because what happens is We begin to live our lives with an open hand. No, we receive from him, but our hand remains open so we can give to others. Amen? So when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, we are promised fruitful lives. It requires faith and trust in the Holy Spirit, even if our external circumstances look different. Thankfulness remains. Amen? Thankfulness remains. Praise the Lord. You know, it says in Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leads to repentance. What does that mean? It means that, you know, we turn from our sins. The goodness of God leads to repentance. So God demonstrating his goodness and his love towards us allows us to demonstrate goodness towards them, which leads them to him. Amen? It leads them to him. You know, like I said, testimonies are prophetic in nature, which means God wants to duplicate the miracle. He wants to duplicate the miracle. So let's live a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Amen? I'll finish there. Praise the Lord. I hope you got something out of that.